Amen. So, I'm going to ask Brother Jay to pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to try to get some class participation. So this is going to be scary. I'm going to ask everybody, like I do, sometimes you probably hear my junior church downstairs during church service. So we're going to start off with you guys being involved, and then at the end I'm going to get you guys involved. So as quick as you can and as loud as you can, I want you to do what I ask you to do. I'm not going to do Father Abraham or any of that crazy stuff. Okay, it's simple stuff. Don't overthink it. Everyone, as quick as you can and as loud as you can, spell the word shop. S-H-O-P. Spell again louder. S-H-O-P. Louder. S-H-O-P. What do you do at a green light?
Stop.
What do you do at a green light?
Stop.
A green light, you go. Almost everybody did that. Okay? Really quick, ready? Listen up, ready? What do you put in the toaster? Go. You put bread in the toast. All right, this is the last thing. Ready? Really fast, you gotta be quicker. What does a cow drink?
Water.
Cows drink water, they produce milk. Now baby cows or calves drink milk. Why did I do that? I did that for just a second because it's cool to realize we make mistakes. We don't know everything and sometimes we're wrong. Amen. So most of you just admitted it. A few of you got it because you'd heard it before. Okay, PhDs can't pass that most of the time because our pride rises up. Oh, I know this. If I were to say, how long does it take to do a brain surgery or this and that, we wouldn't care. But something simple that kids know, our flesh rises up. So we all make mistakes. We all mess up. What gets us in check? The book, amen. Not just any book, the Bible. That's what Brother Eric means when he says the book. He's not talking about a Joel Osteen novel or a Britney Spears autobiography or the Diary of Anne Frank or any of that crazy stuff. He's talking about the Bible, amen. That's even better. That's the only Bible, amen. If it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. So I like definitions because I don't know a lot. So I like to look up the definition. So I'm going to read a definition of a word, and we're going to talk about this word. And you have to remember, we all mess up. We don't always know everything, even when we're confident that we know it. Sometimes you just got to take a breath and relax and say, God, do I stop at a green light or do I go? God, do I put toast in a toaster or bread? The cows drink milk or water? We all, now if you got all three of those right, you're rare, but we all can make mistakes. So I want to start with something that I have a problem with. Rebellion. I thought, what is the word rebellion? I had all my own ideas and things I'd read and thought. So I said, let's look in the dictionary. And I got to walk some because if I don't walk, I'm going to be hiding under here. It's my tie that makes me look fat. But rebellion, ready? It's from Latin, rebellio. Among the Romans, rebellion was originally a revolt or open resistance to their government by nations that had been subdued in war. It was a renewed war. So Rome would come in, attack, kill, murder, rape, take over something. It was theirs. A rebellion was when something that was theirs fought to start a war because it didn't want to be theirs anymore. I'm not saying I disagree with some types of rebellions. I'm flesh. I'm English, partly. Don't hold it against me. But I totally love the American Revolution. I love the fact that we broke away and their slogan on the battlefield was no king but King Jesus. I love that fact. I know a lot of them are deists, but there are a lot of saved guys and girls out there too doing things. So a little deeper look at the word rebellion. An open and avowed renunciation of the authority of the government. So that's a big way of saying you're totally against the government. To which one owes allegiance. Or taking of arms traitorously to resist the authority of lawful government. So it's actually doing something with your mouth and physically against something is rebellion. That's rebellion. Now, people like to mix them up with the words insurrection and mutiny, because I kind of always mixed them up too, and I thought, let's see what the dictionary says. So I've got some scripture, guys. I'm going to jump into it. I got to start on a baseline. So insurrection, it's an uprising in opposition to a particular law or act without a design to renounce wholly all subjection to the government. So sometimes an insurrection was just over a certain thing. When we had prohibition, people rioted and fought. They didn't want to take over the government. They just didn't like the law that they couldn't drink, and they wanted to do what they wanted to do. So that's the word insurrection. Mutiny is an insurrection of soldiers or seamen against the authority of their officers. So you have soldiers in a war, and they're for the country. They love the general. They want to be in the fight, but maybe they've got a captain or a sergeant that isn't doing right and gives them a stupid order that's unlawful, not correct. So they may mutiny and take over. I'm not saying I agree with all that, but it's good to get the mindset of what they mean. So we're going to speed through some Bible here. Let's go to number 16. Number 16. Now, this is Sunday school. We're going to do some flipping. And I was talking to somebody a few days ago. And it's hard to understand unless you've done it, if you spoke in front of people, whether it's preach, which is unbelievably awesome and stressful at the same time, or you've been in front of a crowd of bankers or whatever your profession is and talking to people and teaching about certain things. It can be nervous when you're up here. Your flesh wants everyone to love you. Your flesh wants everyone to be your best friend. Just like preacher says at a funeral, I want you to like me, but I'm not going to compromise on what I stand on for you to like me. I got to tell you what God tells me to tell you. It can be hard sometimes. There's lots of things I struggle with in my flesh, and it's just constant battle. So rebellion, open resistance to lawful authority. It's a quick way to say it. Open resistance to lawful authority. I'm assuming most people in here are Christians. Christian means you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've asked, you've admitted you're a sinner, and believed he died for you, and called on him, amen. So let's here look at number 16. I guess it helps if I'm there. Number 16, I'm not going to read the whole thing now. It's a story about a man named Korah, if I'm saying his name right. And he decides, he's all for God. God is great. I love God. But God's man isn't doing it the way I would do it. So Korah starts a mutiny and gets a bunch of people involved against Moses to tell Moses, hey, no, you're not doing it the right way. It should be done this way. And he calls us a problem. And I really like this because of how God deals with it. When I was thinking about this message and stuff, and someone I had spoken to a couple days ago, you know, when you get in front of people, you want to give a Hallmark message. You want to give a message everyone just loves and they cry and they think you're so great. But you want to give the truth. Some people have a talent to mix both. But without scripture, without using the Bible, I don't understand. So we like Hallmark commercials. Preacher even mocked it last week and said, if you cry more over your TV shows than you do over souls, there's something wrong with you. But we don't like it when people say that, though, because it makes me feel awkward inside, like, is he judging me? Am I not perfect? No, because you go at a red light and you stop at a green light. You're not perfect. You need to be able to admit that or someone's going to die, physically and spiritually. We just don't think. We get so caught up in ourselves. So I'm going to hit this now, and I'll get into it more later. The whole point of this, and I have to be direct and blunt because I don't take hints, and some of you are looking at me, I don't think you take hints. As a Christian, your rebellion is saying that God isn't right or good enough and you can do it better. Your rebellion, how you live, simple things, what you eat, what you watch, what you listen to, what you wear, is outright rebellion against God. And it's filthy and disgusting. Joel Osteen might like it. He wants your money. He doesn't care about you. Knock on Joel Osteen's door. Ask him to help you with something. See what he does. Call him at 2 o'clock in the morning. And say you got to go to the hospital, you want to drop your kids off. My wife might be groggy-eyed, but she'll do it. I'll sleep through it because I don't hear anything. But I'll wake up to a bunch of kids there. But Joel Osteen, if you can get through the dogs and the gates and all that and the security, he's going to turn you away. Because he's not real. It's fake. So don't get mad at me because I'm being truthful. My wife just got a dog. My daughter has a dog. And I hate this. You can go up to a dog and say, I'm going to kill you. I hate you. You're such a good boy. And the dog's happy as could be. You can yell at the dog, I love you. Don't get away from the car. And the dog gets scared and whimpers. So I feel like sometimes I preach to a bunch of dogs. Because all you do is, he raised his voice and said 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, he whispered and smiled and said, fornication and adultery and drinking is great. Don't look at how I deliver the message because I'm a fat slob. I'm going to mess up. But listen to the message. Can you imagine telling the mailman when he brings you that publisher's clearinghouse check? Yeah, no, Tubby, I don't want it. You weren't smiling when you brought it to me. Is that crazy? I don't care how he delivers it. I don't care if his delivery is smooth. I just want to know the message. And then what I'm going to do is turn off Dancing with the Stars and actually check it out. I used to say Survivor, but people say that's not a show anymore. So I'm thinking that Dancing with the Stars is still a show. So I know Flesh, amen, they like that filth. But so here's Korah, Commitment to Mutiny. If you ever get a chance, read number 16. You should be reading it once a year yourself, three chapters a day. You can read your Bible through more than once a year. It's no problem. But another quick, you can turn if you want. I'm not going to read it. But 1 Samuel 30. Someone just mentioned this. I don't know if it was Preacher or Brother Tyler or maybe a couple people, Michael Shane. But David, when he's out away from Saul and he's in the land of the Philistines and he's in Ziklag, when he gets back and all the women and children are gone, what does Ben want to do? They want to kill him. They want to have a mutiny. They're not against God. They followed David because God, they knew it was the right thing to do. But their current leader, they want to go against because things aren't going their way that day. It was a quick, fleshy thing. It was a mutiny they wanted. So let's turn to 2 Timothy, and I'm going to read this. I love it in junior church where I tell the kids about a story, and they get excited, and I tell them, go home and ask mom and dad to read it to you. Ask your uncle or aunt or mom or pop up to read it to you. And then the kids come back and they talk about a story they read at home. And someone in the family read the Bible to them, amen. So let's look at 2 Timothy. It's right after 1 Timothy, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So that tells us we're a soldier. You can't commit a mutiny unless you're a soldier or seaman, the dictionary says. If you're saved, period, you're a soldier of Christ. I didn't say you're a good soldier. I didn't say you're a horrible soldier. It's when you and the Lord, you know what fights you win, what battles you win. You know what fights and battles you're willing to take on for the Lord. It's so crazy if you look at it. Most of the fights and battles only help us. The struggle against this, the fight against this, the giving up the temptation, not walking by that TV if it's a fact, or walking by that bar. Those struggles and fights, when we win them and get victory, it benefits us. Yet we get an attitude sometimes. We want to have a mutiny. God, you don't know what you're doing. I think I can wear this, God. You're a fool. Oh, God, no. My kid's not going to get raped. My kid's not going to get kidnapped and molested because of how they dress. No. Let me tell you, Doesn't matter what you wear. A crazy person can hurt you. But if you're advertising something, you can get a lot more looks. Go down to the bar and watch. Just sit quietly. Preacher did it one night. He just sat there to watch the street preachers. He was dressed like a bum. And he was sitting on the bar side, just on the outside of the building, on the side of it, not in front of it. And he was just sitting there watching all the street preachers. And some of the guys from the bar would come over and start mocking the street preachers. And the preacher would go along with them for a second, and they'd start witnessing to them. But you just go out there and sit one day at the boardwalk and just watch. Watch who people stare at for a longer time or who they take a second or third look at. It has to do with their dress. So tell God he's a fool, and you're going to dress how you want to dress, and you're going to dress like the world and live like the world. Tell God you're going to drink what you want to drink. You don't care. And don't tell me that, you know, Jesus turned the water into wine. Do your research and study. He didn't break Old Testament law. There's new wine. There's grape juice. Read the verse how the husbandman or the master of the house talks about how fresh it was. Normally people do the bad stuff at the end and the good stuff in the beginning. But you did the good stuff that was real grape juice, not sour or bad. But, of course, do what you want, amen. Are you going to stand before God? I believe you are. Maybe heaven's your home if you're saved. And I hate it when preachers say, if you're saved. But I understand in my flesh because you're like, if you're saved and a child of a king, wouldn't you want to please the king? And when you make a mistake, wouldn't you just say, I'm sorry? If you're not sure how to do something, you've been doing it wrong. Daddy, how am I supposed to do this? I want my daughter to fear me, but I want her to love me. God wants the same thing. The problem is, I don't think we love God the way we say we do. The Hallmark song gets played, and we get emotional. It makes us feel good. The little puppy commercial brings tears to our eyes. Kenny Baldwin said it best, and I'd heard it 100 times, but it stuck in when he said it. Tears do not mean repentance always. I'm sure when Jonah stubbed his thumb with a hammer, whatever he was doing a few days ago, he might have had a tear for a second or two. There was no repentance there. It was, ow, that hurt. It was a fleshy thing. But we'll see. So let's go to Mark 15. Well, actually, no, We're going to go to Acts 18. I'll talk about Mark. Mark 15, 7. I was just going to mention one person there. But we're going to turn to Acts 18. So Jesus does nothing wrong. Jesus is God, the Bible says, in the flesh. Three parts, just like a football. Most of you guys know that. So Jesus heals people, loves people, raises people from the dead. Jesus does right. And how do they repay him for doing right? How do they repay Jesus for doing right? They kill him. They crucify him. They don't pat him on the back and smile and shake his hand and say how great he is. How I love that new haircut. Oh, those shoes make you look sweet. They kill him. And they don't just kill him, they crucify him, which is torture him until he's dead. So as my brother Derek will say, they kill him to death. He's dead for doing right. Who's the man that shows up and is released over Jesus? Barabbas. That's what I was going to hit in Mark. We don't have to turn there, though. 15:7. Barabbas. They chose Barabbas. What was Barabbas in jail for? Sedition, murder, insurrection. For rising up against the laws of the land. So he had his own little insurrection. Yeah, it's a type of rebellion. I don't think he was looking to take over Rome. Barabbas couldn't do that. I think he just got in a fight or an issue or got upset over something and broke one of the rules and didn't like it. Think about it. If you speed, it's part of an insurrection. You're taking that next step. You're against the law. You're not looking to take over the government, but you think the laws are stupid. Go to Maryland. Say the word gun. You'll get tackled, tasered, and then locked up. Some of the laws are stupid. So they're not looking to take over the government or take charge, but it's a step. So let's look at Paul in Acts 18. That's a problem with me walking around. I should have my Bible already turned there. So Acts 18, verse 12, we're going to start at. When did they put Acts in front of Romans? So Acts 18, verse 12. And when Gallio was a deputy of Achaia, and the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Galileo said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be the question of words and names and of your law, look ye into it, for I will be no judge of such matters." So they were upset that Paul was saying things that they didn't like to hear. Remember, they said you stop at a green light. They said you put toast in the toaster. They knew what they were doing. They didn't like what Paul was saying. "Don't tell me what holidays are wicked. It makes me feel good to celebrate those holidays. Don't tell me that show's filthy. Don't tell me it's horrible and it is X-rated between the show and the commercials. Don't tell me that. It makes me feel good. I envision I'm going to be that hero one day fighting zombies. I don't know my Bible, but whatever." It's crazy. You get upset. Be honest at God. They say it's wrong. When I start to read your word, finally, you say it's wrong. I like it, God. What's wrong? At least be honest to God. Don't tell God, "Thank you, I don't care, I'm ignoring you." That's what people do. I don't understand that. We're a Bible-believing church. We're supposed to be Christians in here. But my goodness, people have gotten upset. So-and-so turned to too many passages of the Bible when he was preaching. Are you a fool? I want him to show me the scripture. I don't want him just to say how he feels or how he thinks. I had Lido's pizza yesterday. It was awesome. Some people might get heartburn from it. I don't care about their feelings about that. I sympathize with them. I don't want them to suffer. It can be rough not sleeping for an hour or two. But I'm not going to let it change my whole doctrine. We don't understand. This song, I was out in the world doing wrong, and this worldly song did so much for me. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. So what is it? I think it's rebellion. So we just read a little bit about an insurrection and mutiny. They're similar. Not liking something, not liking one of the laws, or not liking the someone who's in charge. I can understand if you had a Bible-believing church of 20 people and the pastor was 400 years old and was doing filthy stuff behind the pulpit. I can understand saying, "I'm going to leave that church." But when we have a pastor who witnesses to people, tells people about Jesus Christ, sings about Jesus Christ, tries to live right and do right. I'm not saying he's perfect. He's got Josh as a child. But nobody's perfect. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to be. But we have a pastor who's trying to do right, but people always complain. They complain. When it comes down to it, it might be a mutiny against your pastor or against your husband or against your job or against us doing right. But if you really get to it, it's just rebellion against God. You think you can do better. You don't need God. Because what did we summed up the definition of rebellion? Open resistance to lawful authority. So, Brother Joe, does God have a right to tell you what to do? Yes, sir. Brother Joe didn't say, "Well, maybe, on Sunday morning." Well, maybe, because my wife just said I had to say yes. He didn't say that. He said, "Yes, sir, yes." So, let's take a look. Ezekiel 20:13. I want to hit some verses here. I'll ask you, please, do not think like I think, because people will call you retarded. But read the Bible. Think what God thinks. See what God says. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to condition myself to think God like, "Oh, you think you're holy, brother." No, I don't, but boy, would I love to be. The Bible says be holy. There's nothing wrong with it. So Ezekiel chapter 20. Look at Exodus 20 later. I just turned there, and that's not where we want to go. That's a real hard book there, Exodus 20, telling you things you can't do. Thou shalt not kill. How dare you tell me who I can't kill or I can't kill somebody? Stinking jerks make all these rules, hold me down. Doesn't that sound stupid? So Ezekiel 20, verse 13. And for any visitors, I'm sorry. Pastor Ryan is out of town, and I got a call at 9:30 last night. So this is where we're at. Amen. So Ezekiel 20, verse 13. "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walk not in my statutes, which is like laws, and they despise my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. All right, how are you guys on Facebook and social media and TV junkies? What did President Trump say this week is? Thursday to Thursday. Oh, my goodness. We're Christians. Jesse, what is it? Holocaust Remembrance Week. Thursday was a big Holocaust remembrance. Some of your kids and grandkids are being told in school Jews weren't killed. And I've seen the pictures. I've seen the videos. My grandfather was there as an English naval guy who killed a bunch of Germans to get into a camp and saw the dead bodies. He was a hard, rough, mean man sometimes. But after what he saw there, he never touched a gun, never talked about it ever again unless you forced him into it. It happened. 6 million Jews, 3 million Russians or more. And I do like how they separated Christians and JWs because they are separate. But they went through the list of all the people. But nobody cares anymore. Why should we care about Israel? Why should we know something about Israel? Because they're God's people. If they're not saved, they're not going to heaven, but they're God's people. They're the apple of his eye. We need to, the Bible tells us we're supposed to pray for them. Pray for Jews? Some of them are stubborn and stiff-necked. Yeah. You read your Bible, you'd be surprised. There's even a verse that talks about living peaceably with your neighbors. It's not always easy. It doesn't say compromise. It doesn't say acceptance of sin is okay. It doesn't say that. What does it say? You got to read it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians and look at some verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. All right. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's go over to chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Most of you know some basic Bible. If you're new and haven't been around a lot, then just ask after we can get a little deeper. But you understand that you're bought with a price. What was the price? Christ's life, right? The blood of Christ. It's a pretty hefty price. The creator of the universe gave for you. You don't need it. You don't want it. Oh, I want it because I want to feel good that I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm not going to live right or do right or think right or dress right or watch the right things or talk the right way. Why? Because church is, it's like Facebook. I can say whatever I want on there. Yeah, I just went to Jamaica this week and I flew the jet and just, no, you're living in your mom's basement. You don't even have a job. But Facebook, you don't know, whoa, did you see this guy, what he did? He is somebody. He's pretty high up. Why do people do that? It's a fake. Why do people do that? I don't understand why this church, of all churches, why do people come here with Pastor Ryan being our pastor who believes in the truth? He's a loving person. He loves people. But he believes the book. Why do you come here just for a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night to talk to a few people when the rest of the week you're not living right, you're not doing right, you're not even trying? I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Come to my house. But I tell you one thing, I'm not going to glory in my sin. If you know I've done something wrong, I'm going to apologize to you about it, as I do to my wife and my daughter or my mother. All three of them are stuck living with me for now. But if I do something and you don't know about it, I'm not going to advertise it and brag about it. I'm not going to go to people that aren't living right and ask them what they think about it. That's crazy. It's rebellion. It's rebellion. We're soldiers, the Bible says. It's open resistance to lawful authority. God has a right. I don't even like the word right because Americans, I love my rights as an American. And I get in my flesh. I have to remember I'm a Christian before a constitutionalist. I love my Constitution. And I've trained my daughter, since we're in this country, to have a type of love or reverence for this company, but I've kind of gone too far sometimes, I think. My daughter knows her Constitution, her Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments. She knows the Ten Commandments, but the first Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, and all the others. And she's the one who's going to argue in the store with somebody. And I told her, nothing wrong with arguing if you do it out of love, but we should give more scripture than we should Constitution. I have no problem supporting the Second Amendment. I'm for the Second Amendment. I'm for the First Amendment. Ask the Jews what happened when they gave up their First and Second Amendment rights. They were sent to the gas chamber. Read history. But the problem is our rebellion against God. We're bought for a price, the Bible tells us. Let's go a few pages over to Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So just to make it easier for everyone to understand, the Bible, it should be easy to understand, but we watch so much news, I can tell you. The way the world would explain this is, and Jalen and Jonah aren't here, so I can't pick on them, but without Christ, you're Guatemalan, and there's a wall between you and America. You can't do anything. You have nothing. You're an alien, the Bible says. I'm not an alien. When you were lost, you're an alien. That's what the Bible says. You were a stranger to God. Let's go on over here to 1 Samuel. I don't know why I get, well, I do know why. I get too nervous up here. I need to relax, but I see some of you looking at me like, my goodness, they're going to slash my tires. And Brother Mike's so busy, it'll take him weeks to get me tires. So, 1 Samuel, verse 15, let's look at verse 23. Actually, I'm going to get Brother Eric to read this out loud. 1 Samuel 15, 23. All right, so Brother Eric just read. What did he say? Rebellion is as the sin of what? Old Testament. I know we're New Testament. We don't stone and kill people anymore. We pray for them. They need to get saved. But the anger of the sin is still there and the filth of it and the hatred towards sin. What does the Old Testament say should happen to witches? They should be killed. God puts your rebellion on the same level of people that were sacrificing their babies to Moloch in the fire. God puts your rebellion on the same level as pedophiles and perverts. No, he doesn't. I'm better than that. You just proved it. You're arguing with God again. What does the Bible say? That's why you don't read it. I understand. So Exodus 22:18 is where you get the backup that you'll not suffer a witch to live. So let's go to Psalm 12. No, I'm not condoning killing witches. We need to pray for them. But I tell you one thing, I wouldn't fellowship with them. I wouldn't go to the movies with them. I wouldn't watch the movies they watch. I wouldn't go to the places they go. If they come into church or I see them in the store, I'll be polite because that's a Christian way to do it. And I'll witness to them and talk to them. But if they bring up their sin, I'm not going to go along with it. I'm going to say, that is wrong. So let's look at Psalm 12. I'm going to get Brother Ryan. Some of these street preachers like to exercise their voices. I'm going to get him to Psalm 12, verse 6. And read 6, 7, and 8. So, what is the word? The word's two, yeah, exactly. The Word is this book and his Son. He holds them together as the same. Check out John 1. The Word. You're a saved Christian. You admitted at one point you were a sinner. You believe Jesus Christ died and rose again for you. And you called on him. But you don't care about him. I do question your salvation. I can't help it. I'm flesh. I don't understand why people live the way they live and do what they do. So let's go to Psalm 119. And I know you're worried. No, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's a long one. Psalm 119. I'm going to pick on somebody different. Miss Laura. She looked up. Psalm 119, verse 11.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee.
Whoa, that's deep. God, I am tired of rebellion. What do I need to do? Whoa, she just said it. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's not that simple. I have to do a Catholic dance and a flip and a roll and play the dice or the beads, whatever priest it was that week would tell us different things. 27 years as a Catholic, it was pretty filthy. No, it's not that hard. Why do we make things so hard? Because you love your sin. You love being rebellious. Hey, don't think I'm up here all perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm married with child and mother. So, but the thing is, are you content with your sin? Oh, hey, Jimmy, we all lie. It's okay. I do it all the time. Yeah, Baba. Adultery, fornication. Here my wife comes. It's okay. I do it all the time. It's okay. Oh, pedophilia, murder. Oh, it's okay, man. I do it all the time. What? It's not okay. Stop justifying people's sin to make yourself feel better. Yeah. Hey, man, I told a lie. Have you asked for forgiveness yet? What's so hard about that? Hey, man, I did this. Have you got it right? Are you clean yet? Well, Brother Ken, it's scary. It's not scary. Open your mouth. I jokingly say, if you're saved, the worst thing they can do is send you to heaven. But in America, nothing happens. Oh, Detroit, I know it's a bad area. Baltimore, it's a bad area. Yeah, they're bad areas. But overall, as a Christian, you have so much freedom in this country. Try to be a Christian in North Korea. See how long you last. Try to be a Christian in Russia, where it's illegal. And they're open about it. It's no secret. It's illegal. Try it. See how long it lasts. I can understand you being afraid there. But can you imagine standing for the Lord? Lord, I had the desire to give that 87-year-old lady a track. But she was so scary. She could have broke me, snapped me like a twig. Are you kidding me? It's not scary. You can go up to big bodybuilders too, and the guys that think they're super big and strong, they're going to think you're so little and puny, they're not going to be embarrassed by hurting you. So either way, you're safe. The worst thing you get is this. No. That's the same word God says to me, and I don't like it. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. Let's finish with this here. I know we're out of time. I know 17 people have walked out. 74 more in the hallway. Rebellious. Amen. I don't know. So it's funny what you can see up here. Amen. There should only be one person out, person helping at the door. But so let's go ahead and 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should not overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I think there's a verse about old things being passed away and all these different verses about being the light. So you're a child of the light, not of darkness. But I want to watch dark stuff. I want to do dark things. That's rebellion. That's not of God. Don't tell me you love Jesus Christ when I don't see it. Oh, you don't know my heart. No, I don't know your heart, but the Bible says by your fruit you'll know them. And I'm not saying every fruit is perfect. We all make mistakes, but we should see some fruit. So I'm going to leave you with this. Be honest with yourself and talk to God about it. Don't talk to your friends on Facebook. Don't talk to your people in church that aren't doing right that you gravitate towards. But I'm going to ask you, do you want Hallmark or Scripture? And then Jeremiah 17:9. Who can quote or has their Bible open? Jeremiah 17:9. Whoever can turn there quick, stand up and say it. If you don't have wicked, who can know it? Brother Ryan just said it. The heart is deceitful, right? Above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows your heart. So, rebellion. Between you and the Lord. But just remember how you're feeling right now toward me. I do want you to like me. But you told me to stop at a green light. You told me cows drink milk and toast goes in a toaster. You could be wrong about your angry feelings right now. Maybe you should put the mirror up and get your Bible down and say, God, who should I be upset with? God, why am I doing what I'm doing? It's not pastor's fault, my neighbor's fault, my ex's fault, my kid's fault, my job's fault. You can make all the excuses you want. But you know what David did when he did wrong? He got it right and said, God, against thee have I sinned. Your rebellion doesn't bother me. I get mad because I'm raising a daughter and I have to explain to her why church people dress a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way, watch certain things because she hears it all from other kids. And she questions, are they saved? Do they love God? I don't know. They say they are. Pray for them. But Dad, why would they do that? Why would they say that? Why would they live like that? I don't know, darling. Maybe at 27 years old when I got saved, I was so tired of the filth and the junk of the world that I know to stay a little further away. I'm not saying I'm better, but why do you play with it? You know it's wrong. You're not strong enough. I don't know if they still have it or not. They used to have remotes. It's probably now just your brains that think it. But they used to have this button, OFF. It was a bad word sometimes. But you could press the off button. You could do that. Derek just fell out of his chair, man. All right, Lord, forgive me, Lord, for going too long, God. Just please, Lord, forgive me if I put myself in the front too much, God. It should be your word, Lord. Please, God, I don't care if anybody rebels against me, Lord. But please, God, help us all, Lord. Convict us in our heart, God, that our rebellion is ridiculous, Lord, and it's as witchcraft, Lord. You don't like it. It's not funny. We're not two anymore. God, right now, everybody has something on their mind and in their heart, God. We need help with. Please, God, help us to read your word. Help us to see what's wrong. And help us to take steps to get better. God, we're not going to be perfect overnight because of our flesh. I know you can free us from anything. Please, God, just be with my church, Lord. Protect it, Lord. There are so many churches falling apart and going down, Lord. Please, God, help us to stick with Scripture, not with Hallmark. God, and please help us be real. I love you and I thank you for all you've done. Be with my preacher as he's away. Protect him. Be with my brother, Michael Shane, as he does Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen.